Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready to rock?
Thanks for tuning in to Injustice, the show to share stories of injustice and to ask questions and seek advice. Each month, we feature guests that have been personally impacted by the criminal justice system and or making a difference in the community. I am author Melinda Robertson, your host and founder of Black Mothers for Justice, a 501c3 nonprofit that provides a safe space where mothers with children wrongfully or rightfully incarcerated can speak their truth without being judged. The mission is to educate mothers about an unfair and unjust criminal justice system and systemic racism, to free them of the hurt, pain, shame, and guilt, to begin the healing process, because healthy mothers lead to better communities. Black Mother's Guide, How to Survive the Criminal Justice System, Part 2 will be released this spring. Part 1 consisted of stories of survival from 5 mothers impacted by the criminal justice system, while Part 2 breaking down the entire legal process, beginning with arrest, warrants, plea deals, court hearings, grand juries, etc. It also explains in detail summons, indictments, Miranda rights, arraignments, bail bonds, etc. Because knowledge is power. For more information about Black Mothers for Justice, or if you would like to be part of the movement, please join the Black Mothers for Justice Facebook page and visit blackmothersforjustice.com to help us rebuild the village that is desperately needed in the Black community. This week's featured guest is Brother Ira Mathis, affectionately known as Spanky to his friends and family. He is a native Washingtonian who grew up in Woodland, which is a housing development located in Washington, D.C. He is the founder and president of No More Graves, a 501c3 nonprofit organization created to change the mindset of individuals who choose to use violence to resolve conflict by providing mentoring and job training to stop the senseless violence we are witnessing in our communities. Spanky views himself as once being part of the problem until finding himself in front of a judge in D.C. Superior Court who asked him why he was there with the skills that he had as a certified air conditioning technician. He was raised by a single mother, a single no-nonsense mother, and there was no reason for him to be in the streets, and he knew that. The judge told him, if he appeared before him ever again, he would send him to jail. And that stern message changed his life. Today, Aris is committed to preventing young people from harming another human being by providing life lessons and giving them an outlet other than what they see every day. Please help me welcome Aris Mathis to the show. Good evening, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for that intro, Miss Melinda. I appreciate you having me on the show this evening. And I'll reiterate one part of your intro. I grew up on Northeast in Kenilworth until the year 1987, and it's when we moved to Southeast Washington, Woodland Terrace. Other than that, you banged everything out, but thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for joining us and being on the show. We're really glad to have you. So, what year did you have, and where did the name No More Graves originate from?
Well, I can say No More Graves originated in my senior year in high school, 1994. Lost a best friend of mine around Woodland Terrace, the name of Sean Posey. And I used to say that, because, some things happen, which I don't want to talk about on the show, but, some things happen. And as you say, I want no more graves because I seen friends going against friends. And I used to say that to my big brother, Daniel Flowers, which is out there. And he always used to say, why you always say that? He said, I just said, I don't like when a friend get mad at you or whatever and they have to kill you or something. So it came apart in 1994 when I lost him, but it just didn't upstart until, I would say, 2018 is when we really started the foundation.
Wow.
So it was in my mind back then.
Oh, wow. So it's been in your psyche for years. So I'm glad that you brought it to fruition, and I'm glad your brother, encouraged you to do something about it, to use this. Because No More Graves, the name, just really speaks volumes because, across the nation, the gun violence and everything that we're witnessing, I think a lot of people can really relate to this name. So I mentioned in the intro about that situation you shared with me being before the judge once. So did you ever spend any time in jail?
Well, I'll be the first to tell you I did spend some time in jail. But my first time I only had to do 10 days.
Okay.
And I'm proud to say that. Prison.
Right, and them 10 days, what those 10 days did for you?
Yeah, what the 10 days did for me was, I didn't know the jail game then, so, I had to get in touch with somebody wanting my shoes and you about to leave, could you leave me your shoes? I didn't know that. I didn't know people would leave guys in shoes or whatever. He didn't try to take them. He asked me for them. He only knew I had 10 days. But then was when the fresh, we could wear shoes back then. It was the fresh Penny Hardaways. And I wore the prison. I only did 10 days, and I did them on the weekend. And I said, no, I'm not leaving my Penny Hardaways in here with you. But other than that, the jail thing, I know a lot of my friends have did my time for me because I used to always tell them that. And I didn't like to hear the jail stories when they came home because people use that as a token of being hard or what have you. That's not a token to go to prison because it can mess your life up, forever.
Right.
You cannot make it out of it.
Exactly. And a lot of people, yes, and a lot of young people tend to get a badge of honor.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm here to tell them, if y'all listening, whoever's listening, it's not a badge of honor. Please don't go to prison. Because a lot of them really don't want to go to prison, Melinda, because you know why? When they get locked up, they try to take somebody else with them. So they're not with the street stuff for real. So please know there are consequences to your actions out here, young man, older man, or young woman, or older woman. It's consequences to it.
Exactly.
So if you ain't going to be able to take that time, don't do it. Because you're going to wind up snitching on somebody, trying to get yourself out of jail. So that's just my take on it.
Right. And the reality is that there are no guns in jail. The way I'm running around here with these occurring on now, but there's no guns. That's something that they really need to understand that, they don't know whether or not they just don't want to fight because I grew up in an era where, men they got to fighting at a crap game or something like that. They fought like men, and they were back drinking together that later that night. They weren't trying to kill somebody. So that's just, that right there is a whole different dynamic with this generation that we have now. So you were actually sentenced to 10 days? That was your sentence? Or is that how long it took before you were actually released?
No, that was my actual, that was, I had a charge. And do you want me to talk about the charge or you can I do
it's
that?
Up
on
to you.
Stuff?
It's up to you.
Well, actually, that's around the time, like I said, my best friend got killed in 94. So I just, you know, I was carrying an illegal firearm with me every day because I was, you know, I had to protect me. I didn't know what may have come after that or anything like that. So I always carried a firearm, which I do not now, but
uh-huh.
I got pulled over in Virginia for that firearm.
Wow.
And I got sentenced. I took it to trial. I had a good lawyer. You know, I thank him to this day. You know, I had a bag of weed and I had my gun. But that
wow.
judge only gave me 10 days on the weekends for the hammer. Lucky for me, it wasn't dirty.
Well, that was definitely God blessing you, my
that
brother.
Was a blessing. I've been blessed. I'm telling you, I've been locked up a couple of times, but I've been blessed. And I tell you, you can go run my name. You ain't going to find a paperwork in sight of my name trying to bring somebody else with me. So,
uh-huh.
No, I honor
that's
that code. Yeah, I honor that code.
Uh-huh.
It's a code. If you get caught, don't bring nobody else with you. Take your
uh-huh.
way.
Well, you know, there are a lot of the codes that our generation, my generation, I'm older than you, much older than you. So the code that we had, the street code back in the day in the 70s and the 80s was that women and children were off limits. So clearly there are no more street codes in this game today because far too many women and especially babies have been killed by this, you know, reckless gun violence that we're seeing every day. So clearly there are no more rules to this game. There are no street codes or anything like that. And this is really a sad state that we are in right now. So speaking of which, the gun violence that we're experiencing nationwide and with all the babies dying, what role, if any, do you think pandemic may have played in the uptick of gun violence that we're seeing?
Well, I wouldn't say the pandemic had taken an uptick of it. It's always been gun violence here, period.
But not to this extreme.
Not to this extreme because, like I said, what I always say is people in a chase. And we chasing what the world, not the world made, but what the man or the woman of the world made. They chasing money. They chasing cars, clothes, the homes, and it's in my much, of, you know, just stuff and et cetera of things. So when they not getting taken care of or you feel like you can't get these things, you get an attitude, and that's some people's mindsets. You know, it wasn't mine. When I was broke or when I needed something, I tried to go work for it. You know, I didn't get upset and try to hurt someone for it, you know, try to rob someone
right.
or kill somebody. But that's
right.
that's the uptick in violence to me, I think. I think, you know, these young people today, they just keep chasing the hustle. And when it's not there for them, they buying these guns and they going to use them by any means necessary because that's what's in our music. That's what's in our movies. The violence sells. So,
right, exactly. But I don't think that they – I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's just my point of it.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that I believe that a lot of the violence thing, it definitely increased tremendously, you know, 2020 to now, you know, when we were on lockdown. And I say that to say because we have been seeing extreme cases of violence that we hadn't been seeing before. And during that 2020, when we were on lockdown and the schools were shut down, I think a lot of young people didn't play the video games day in and day out, 24/7, and they are so violent. Grand Theft Auto, it has 749 killings, murders that you have to commit in order to go to next level, to the next level. And if you are doing that day in and day out, you're sleeping that, you're awake. Balance is, you know, I think that they can't really decipher real life from game. And I think that that does have something to do with the increase that we're seeing now, because any young mother or young parent that's on this call or hear this message, I hope they understand the impact that these video games are having on their children's minds, our babies. You know, this technology, it has some advantages, but it also has a lot of disadvantages. With, you know, you have to be aware of the kind of games that you're giving them. I remember my son, 12 years old, he asked me to get him Grand Theft Auto. Was on his Christmas list one year, and I said, I'm not getting that game. So he said, why? And I'm like, Grand Theft Auto, I'm not going to get you a game to teach you how to steal a car, you know. And he said, that's what it means. I'm like, well, I know what Grand Theft and Auto means. So I think that does have something to do with, but that's just my opinion. So speaking of, you know, these, go ahead.
No, that's a good opinion, but like you said, you just got to have a strong mindset of yourself too, and I think parents should have conversations with them about it as well.
Right, and I think they should also monitor. I think they should also monitor the time that they're spending on these things, because, like over in China and Korea, they give their children have like 6 hours a week that they can play the video games. 6 hours. And the entire thing, I mean, because they know the impact that this is having on them. And real quick, I just want to share a story with you about this young brother recently, you know, this year, killed three people. He shot three people. And Tyrone Parker from the Alliance for Concerned Men said that when the police arrested this young brother, he wasn't even 18, he started crying, he asked for his mom. He didn't even realize what he had done. He killed three people. And he looked like he was like in a trance. You know what I'm saying? So it's just really sad. These games and stuff do have a lot of things. So a lot of young people today don't seem to have any regard for life, yours, mine, or theirs, and would tell you that they don't even expect to live past 20 years old. Why do you think they have adopted this kind of mindset? And more importantly, what, if anything, can we do as a community to change it?
Well, I would say most of it, even if you're doing good parenting sometimes, you know, your kid can get out there with the wrong person to have that sort of mindset, to say they ain't going to live past 25 because they are in the lifestyle and they loving the lifestyle. But it, like I said, you got to take a strong parent. And yeah, we shared a story. You was a strong parent, and I definitely had a strong mother on my hip every second that I tried to do something wrong. I mean, she didn't stop beating me till I was 18 years old. I know.
Did you say beating you?
Yeah, beating me. I mean, when she had to, my mama had to tape switches up after I was taking them so much. She would tape like five of them up with electrical tape. I mean, and I honor my mom. I tell her all the time. I tell people that story that the parenting has to be harsh. They are not our friend. Your parent is not your friend. Your parent is your parent. And I'm seeing a lot of kids disrespecting their moms and dads these days. And in the community, what I think we need to change is stop accepting what we know is wrong. Because we do a lot of acceptance in the neighborhood. And like I said, I was a product of that. You know, but I'm thankful. I'm just thankful for my mom, Ms. Hannah Mathis, for just being on me all the time about trying to do the wrong thing. Yes, I try to hustle outside, but guess who didn't accept it? Hannah Mathis. I couldn't take this stuff out. I explained to you, I call it the Jason's Lyrics Mom. I don't care how much money I think I made, I couldn't take it over the threshold of 2316 Raina's place because she wasn't going to accept no drug money. So it was just just a part of, we got to stop being accepting of the bad things that our children is doing when you do know what they're doing. Now, if you don't know, you better go find out what they're doing. You're the first police. Go in their room.
Right.
Go in their book bags. I don't care what you do. Go
That's
in their phones. You paying for everything. That's just my take on that. I know a lot of people got other things they have on that, but that's just me.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly. Parents have got to, we have got to stay on them. But you know, the thing is, once the Child Protective Services got involved about 20 years ago, when the Child Protective Services started trying to arrest parents for disciplining their children, that's when I feel like things went down in our community, because my generation was, I want you in this world and I'll take you out, you know, and meant it, you know. But today, they are willing and will lock up a parent for disciplining their child, even if it did, if they did swing on them or, you know, beat them with a belt or whatever. You know your child. You sometimes you need that discipline, and that's what, as a Black community, that's what we've always done. So I think that has something to do with it. To all the listeners, if you'd like to join the conversation at any time during this broadcast, feel free to press the number one and speak with our guest. So moving right along, Ira, in your opinion, how do we get the guns out of the hands of these reckless young people, in your opinion?
Well, I would want to get guns off the street, period, because they don't mean you no good. If you, I like this. You see everything about concealed arm, concealed this. This, you're going to want to use your gun one day. You know, that's what they promoted it for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to promote, those signs need to be concealed happiness plans or something. You know, I don't know how to get the guns. What solution would help with getting the guns out of the hands of the criminals? Because they're going to always find a way to bring them to our neighborhoods. I don't think that will ever, ever stop, because that's a big money maker, Miss Melinda. And it's just like anything else. If you try to stop the money flow, what happens? They come. Somebody's coming for you. You know, they don't want no more graves to really happen. I do.
Uh-huh.
There's certain people that really don't want this to happen. They would rather us keep killing each other, keep selling these guns and put them in the hands of the people that going to use them for no reason at all, so they can go to jail or one day be a victim themselves. That's just been a game. That's what I've been seeing all my life. So it's either I tell people all the time, you're not going to always be the shooter. You need to think about that.
Right, but I think the fact that they're actually making these guns now, I think that has a lot to do with the uptick as well, because
ghost
guns. You know, these ghost guns that people are making, you can just go to YouTube and put in how to make a gun, and it's showing you step by step what to purchase. So, I mean, I think all that plays a part. I think we have caller, are you there?
Okay.
Would you like to join the conversation?
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Hi, this is Frank. How you doing, Ms. Robinson?
Hey, we have a bad connection. Can you try to call us back, because we can't hear you? It's a lot of static.
Can you hear me now?
That's a little better.
Yes, this is Frank Rollins calling.
Yes.
How you doing?
Hello. We're good. We're good. Go ahead with your question.
The question is, relating to what we can do to help the youth. What I think the problem is, and I've noticed this over the last 10 or 15 years, is when most of these community leaders who come together to do things and they sit down with the police department and the mayor and you know, different councilmen and stuff like that, they're having a meeting. And in that meeting, the only people there is adults, the older generation. The problem is that these youth don't feel respected. You want the youth to do, it's like even with the whole process of getting them to do the things we want. But we telling them what to do. We're not telling them, hey, what can we do? Give us some suggestions on helping you. You know, let them be a part of the solution. We keep on trying to say we got the solution, follow our lead. And I think that's what we missing the point. That's why these youth are being so disrespectful to their parents. They're being disrespectful to society as a whole. And when you and y'all mentioned about the guns, okay, the turn up of that scenario, yes, we don't want guns to be out on the streets, but if you take the guns off the street, you still got the government you got to deal with. It's going right now with the black on black, you know, killing African Americans and minorities and stuff like that. I mean, eventually, you understand, we want, you know, something got to give. So we can't be right without no protection out here. You know, honest citizens who work their butt off, they need some kind of protection. So you say we don't want people to have guns. It's just like Mr. Mather said, there's no way that's going to happen. Let's talk about something different than just talking about trying to get the guns out of the hand. We got to give them better opportunity. That's another thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got a lot of life.
Right.
You know, you take a kid out here and you say, I want you to get off this block for making some money. But you don't know what that kid doing with that money. He might be taking care of his family. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if anybody know my story, Mr. Mathers know me, and Ms. Robinson, you might know of me. You know, my mom's is on drugs. My father's on drugs. I had four sisters. I was the only boy. So when I went to the streets, you understand, I had police officers, people in our neighborhood that grew up and was police officers. And they gave me a pass because they knew I just wasn't out there selling drugs to make money to live the high life. I was taking care of my sisters.
Because my
mom wasn't able to.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So, I mean, like, so, wow. Yeah, we need to sit at the table really look at ourselves as adults, as educators, as community leaders, as activists. We ought to look at that real picture and say, okay, what are we doing wrong? We all got, you know, what we feel we can do, ideas, but the ideas we missing out as far as bringing the kids and letting them have a voice.
Right. So you're saying basically that we should.
Huh?
Right. So you're saying that we should allow them at the table and have some conversations with them.
That's right. I mean, I've been to many city council meetings, ANC meetings, and stuff like that. And only thing in those meetings is older people, residents, mothers and fathers, but no kids. How do we keep on saying we're going to do something for the kids and we don't have the kids there to represent themselves?
Wow. Well, thanks so much for calling and thanks for that that insight. Definitely insightful.
Yes, sir. Hey, big brother friend.
How you doing, Mr. Mathers?
Yeah, good, man. That's definitely a good point, big brother, because
Robinson,
that's what we
whenever you get
time.
A chance, I would love to come on your show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
Go ahead.
Finish your point.
Yeah, like I said, that's definitely a good point that he's making, because that's what we say in our meetings that we have, No More Graves meetings. We want to listen to what they want. We can't force something on them that they don't like. That's what we trying to, like I said, when we trying to find out what they trying to do in life. We asked them, what would you want to do besides be on the corner? You know, some of them might want to be a musician. And I'll be telling them, it's other things besides rapping. You could be the engineer of the system.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he right about that. When they have the meetings, it's not the kids there. But really, sometimes you can't get them there because they're not going to come. So you have to go to them. A lot of these council members, they don't want to come to where we go to. We go to the neighborhood. You know, we done had meetings where they came through shooting. So
right,
it's
exactly.
Banging out there.
I've seen press conferences where you can see, you can hear gunfire. You know, and it's dangerous. We're living in a different time today. We're living in a completely different time. And even though, you know, that's where we grew up, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I grew up, you know, but I've been gone from there for so many years, but I still not going to be just hanging out because that's, I'm just nervous. I mean, I don't really know that generation. They don't know who I am. You know what I mean? So I get it.
Yes,
and at the end of the day, right, the bullets don't have no names on them. So, you know, anything is possible. But if you could share a little bit with the listeners about the services that No More Graves offers, the Youth Award 8.
Well, we offer, like, mentorship. You know, we take them, you know, like on outings so we can have one-on-ones with them. We offer any type of job training that they will want to go to, like especially in my trade. I do HVAC. So we've been actually trying to pay for kids who want to accept it. And like the caller said, you can't push something on them. We've been paying for, you know, training to do HVAC to get a CFC license. Some of them won't go. But that's what we offer as well. And we actually partner with a couple of other organizations, like the Hope Project. They help out a lot. They call us with stuff when they're having free CDL training. So we in the hands of other people, and that's what it's about. It's about all of us connecting the dots instead of being the face. You know, this organization is not about being the face of something. It's about helping the situational problem. Which is, like you said,
exactly.
Gun violence, having with incarceration and all that stuff. So when we all get down and sit together, as Mr. Frank Rollins was saying, then we will have better for the foundation and better for the kids on the streets because they'll see us connecting. You know, they don't see us connecting, then they're like, okay, I don't think
we
should be with
you. So exactly, But
that's what we actually want as a foundation. Mm-hmm. It's about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's no one person can do this. We can't do this by ourselves. You know, God, he got the head. All of us is just serving this planet to be a better one.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Well, if there's some organizations that's listening to this or if they heard about No More Graves, please reach out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are here, and now, look, the website is up. We've got to work on it some more. It's www.nomoregraves.org. Our email is, excuse me.
I was going to ask, what are the requirements for young people that hear this recording that or someone that might have a young person, what are the requirements to be graves so that they can be they can have access to different opportunities with these jobs and training?
Well, it's no requirements. All they have to do is email us.
Okay, is there an age requirement?
Well, the job requirements is from right now is what, 17? You could be 16, 17 years old.
Okay.
So it is no age requirement after 16 years old. So we do from 16 till, I don't care if you're a grown person that don't have a job. You could be 50. We trying to help anybody that wants help.
Right.
So,
exactly. Do they have to be a DC? Like for instance, do they have to be a DC resident?
And the most part, you have to be a DC resident. But like you said, we're reaching over the state of Maryland. Like the Hope Project, they doing stuff in Maryland as we speak with the CDL training.
Mm-hmm.
So big ups to the Hope Project, which is definitely making some major moves.
Raymond Bell. I had Raymond Bell on the show a couple years ago. Yes. Ray Bell.
Yeah, I always did because he's like he's like my mentor for real because he's showing the way that it's supposed to be because he's helping. But as I say, we receive the blessing to be the blessing. Don't receive the blessing, not to shoot the blessing back out there. Because
believe me,
you're not doing it by yourself. So don't give them kudos to yourself at all.
Yeah, it takes a village. It takes a village.
Yeah,
it takes everyone. It takes all of us to make a difference. I just want to remind the listeners that if you want to join the conversation or if you have a comment or question for Aaron, please press the number one so that we can you can join this conversation. So
and Miss Melinda, I did forget to put the email out there. I got choked up a little bit, but may I put the email out there for
you?
You have an opportunity.
As we close, before we close out for sure.
Okay.
So, Ira, did you ever think that you would become the community leader that you are today? Why not?
No, I did not. Because of time constraints, I had a job. Because I really want to do this every day. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do it every day. But I know we all need money. So I have to work. And like I said, the blessings that we do get from people, this foundation does not get paid. And nor do I want it to. So, but no, I didn't think I was going to do this, but I always had it in me to be a violence type of interrupter because my friends tell me now I'm too nice. They always say that to me, Frank, you too nice. But, you know, when they see me angry, they say, okay, well, you must have did something to that young man. Because I can't stand violence. And if everybody know me from my childhood, they know. It don't make me no man to get upset to try to hurt somebody.
Right.
That's going to make me look like a fool.
Right.
No, I'd rather talk it out with you. Like you're saying, if you don't want to fight, let's talk it out. It don't make me look like what they call a sucker. It don't make me look like no sucker just because I don't want to fight you. It make me look like I want to live for the next 99 years or so.
Right. Because it's not worth it.
Because nowadays when you fight, they – 9 times out of 10, you can't turn around and walk 10 more steps before you getting hit in your head with a hammer.
Right.
Which is a gun, which is a slang
for
gun. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, which is slang for a gun. They call it a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You can't even fight. You can't even fight anymore, Miss Melinda. So I just always been in the business of diffusing situations. And my friends know me. I had some great friends growing up. Even the ones that was in the streets harder than I was. They was great to me because they knew my heart. They knew I didn't want to be out there like that. But I was with them at all times.
Right.
I still call them my friends.
Right. Parents or the lack thereof have a lot of responsibility to what we're seeing because at some point in time, we dropped the ball. You have to have that fear. You can't be their friends. It's not okay for you to be smoking with your kids. It's not okay for you to just do anything and say anything in front of your kids. When our generation, you can't even be in a room with all adults. It's like there's no children in here. But today's parents, they have the child sitting there or they tell them you know what I mean? Conversations and stuff like that. And so as a result of that, they no longer have that fear factor. So they disrespect their parents and they have no respect for them. So if they don't have any respect for you as a parent, they're also not going to have any respect for the teachers or for the neighbors or anybody else. And we have to set the tone as parents. We set the home. All roads lead back to home. That's the reality. That's the reality.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think, you know, you were saying about how they don't even fight anymore. And I think it's because these young people today, they are so fearful of a good old-fashioned, excuse my expression, a good old-fashioned ass-whooping. Then they'd rather kill somebody than take one. Whereas if you were coming up and you're used to, you know, being disciplined the way that my generation was disciplined, you know, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you could be popped in your mouth for just saying something out. You know, you just know that you don't do that anymore. You know you're not going to say that anymore. You know, and some of these kids, I don't think they've ever had a whooping, a good old-fashioned whooping. So, they, you know, their egos and their pride, before they actually fight somebody toe-to-toe, they'd rather kill somebody. And that's ridiculous because they're throwing their lives away. And it's just the same. I think we got to go back to the old school way, you know, and handle them. Parents need to be the parents and stop being the friends. That's just my take. So we're winding down. We have 20 more minutes left. So I just want to remind the listeners that if we can take one more call, 4-9. I'm sorry, Ira, go ahead. What's your comment?
No, I was piggybacking off what you were talking about. I was my dad didn't have to do it. I was more scared of my mom. For real. I'm serious.
I could look at my son. Because that's just how it's supposed to be. It's a different day. So switching gears here, I was the proud recipient of the No More Graves Community Activist Award. And I was just wondering, what inspired the award ceremony and the desire to recognize other community leaders?
Well, what was inspired by that was that we see people are doing a lot of great in the neighborhoods. And I see that a lot of stuff wasn't being, we as a group saw that a lot of people wasn't being, you know, you couldn't see them in a light that we wanted to see them in. So we wanted to put something together to kind of recognize you guys to say, you know, we do love you and we want you to keep doing what you're doing and it's not being unnoticed. So it's always great to notice good things that's happening because that work is hard. A lot of people don't know what it takes to go into that because, you know, you have to take time out of your work schedule and, you know, do things with other people's kids that you're not doing with your own. So you put a lot of stuff on the back row when you're doing your thing. So it was good for us to just come down as a group, which all of us collectively came together and said, let's do this for the people that we know are doing some things and know that they being appreciated for the work that they do. That's when we came up with the idea of having the award show, and we definitely want to keep that going. So we are looking to have a second annual, but it's not an official date yet. But we definitely just go around the communities just to see who's doing something in the community and who have we heard of. We'll just look you up, or if we can reach out to you, somebody in the foundation knows of you. It's just a blessing that people want to do some good in the neighborhood, and that's what we took out of it.
That was a beautiful ceremony, and I'm just definitely truly honored to have been one of the recipients myself. So is the nomination process, or you guys just kind of observe who's doing what in the community and stuff like that?
Well, the nomination process is one we do. It's not a particular number that we set out. But we just, you know, we just look at the fact who's doing something great in the community and just want to honor them. That's all. That's in the nutshell. There's no you being, you know, you ain't respected for the work that you're putting out. And that's, like I said, that's not always shown to the organizations or foundations. You know, because like you said, it's hard work. So it's not a real harsh look because what's good is good. So It's just all of who we're going to honor this year. That's it.
Yes, yes. That's a beautiful thing. And it's good because, you know, it's a lot of work. When, you know, you have to be committed, you know, in a strictly sense. You have to have a passion for it because everything that I do for Black Lives for Justice has been out of pocket. I have not yet able to obtain grants and stuff like that. I know it's out there and it's available. So I do plan to continue to, you know, apply for them. So is that something that you guys do, apply for grants and stuff like that to keep you guys afloat?
Well, I say for us, we started out of pocket. We only been awarded one grant since we've been a foundation. And I've always said this from the start, that we need to take charge of our own. So we are the solution. Like right now, I would say for like you, what you do, it should be a million of us listeners right now. Maybe this can put a dollar in your account so you'll have a million to play with to make some leeway on what you're doing. You know, it's everybody, all of us have a job. So when we waiting on like grants and stuff, which are good, they are good. I ain't gonna say nothing bad about grants, but it takes too much work to get a grant when you're trying to do some good for your community. You have to go through too many steps. You have to word your wording correctly. I understand all that.
Right.
You're looking out for some tips.
You have to have a
great
writer.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people say you have to have a great writer.
Yeah, you do, and they have to get paid. So they are not cheap. So, like I said, when you waiting on this grant to go through, Mo just got killed down the street. Well, we could have just helped if we had some solutions for each other besides waiting on some money. When we work every day to get our people out of poverty right now, I say we, you know, I had this solution, but, you know, it's going to come to fruition one day. I always call it the Millions 20 program. And I'm definitely going to write it so it can definitely, because it would help. I would say
even down
to the people that got a McDonald's job. You know, $20 a month won't hurt just helping communities.
And it will definitely help all organizations like ours. We're going to take last caller. Caller, you there?
Good evening. How
caller?
Are you?
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening. How are you, Melinda? I'm good.
I'm good.
My name is Alonda Fields. This is Yogi. I'm also part of No More Graves, and I just want to tap in and say I'm proud to be a part of the organization, the foundation, Mr. Mathis, that God gave him the vision to put this, put it together. And I do believe in his vision. And as time go on, others will see his vision as well. So, yes, I am. I'm proud to be a part of the foundation.
Yes. Well, thank you for that comment, my sister. Thank you so much for that comment. You want to comment? You want to respond to that real quick,
Thank you. We're proud to have her as a team member because she does great things for the foundation. So, we're definitely a hard-pressed team over here. And like I said, we may have a lot of struggles, but believe me, we are all one family. Thank you a lot for that comment. Appreciate that. Glad to have
you. Thanks so much. Yes, absolutely. It takes a village. It's a village. And the thing is, you know, God knows our heart. And you know, the work that you guys are doing, No More Graves, I am very proud to be affiliated with you guys in any capacity because I think it's just so necessary and so needed in the community. As we wind down, do you have any upcoming events can share with the listeners?
Well, the only event that we have right now, and it's coming up this Thursday, we're taking out some kids to an event to bowl this Thursday. Let them have a good time, speak to them about life, they want to do with their lives, and hopefully change some mindsets. But March 26th, you know, we'll be at Bolero in Arlington. If you want to choose to stop by, you can. Because, like I said, it, like Ms. Melissa said, it takes a village. But that's what we got coming up until the summertime when we do some community events and get into the communities. Because we want to come, we're trying to get our community straight first, Ms. Melinda, which is Woodland Terrace. Then we're trying to connect the dots outside the communities. Because, and I'm coming for you guys, if y'all listening, we need somebody in those communities to bring us in these communities. Because we, you know, that's how it's going to connect. We got to get these petty beefs down. So be looking out for No More Graves to contact you guys, because there's no more running. We can't run. We can't run from this.
Right.
Because
it's happening. What about the, don't you guys do something every third Friday?
We do.
Is that a fundraiser? I'm sorry.
That actually is a fundraiser. We do we do a party at St. Luke's. I guess everybody, I don't have the address right in front of me, but we do that every third Friday. We won't be doing it this East Capitol Street, Northeast or Southeast. That's Southeast side. But April, we will not be doing anything but we do it every third Friday. We will be coming back in May. That is our fundraiser that we do every third Friday of the month. For the rest of this year, we'll be doing it, except for the exception of April. And what we do, we just have people come out and have a good time. You dance, but best to believe we will stop the music, because you have to hear, you have to take out of that place what we're trying to do as people. And we want the grown-ups to hear it, because that's what we need. We need, like you said, we need the parents to be parents. We need the grown-ups to be grown-ups and take charge of these young people. Like, I took charge of my nephew. Thanks me till this day, because I didn't let him do what he wanted to do. And I'm proud of that.
Wow. You saved his life, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'm proud of that.
Would you like to, can you provide your social media information, website, email, any of that information you'd like to share?
Yeah, social media is just No More Graves, D.C. Email, our email is www.nomoregravesdc@gmail.com. That is No More Graves, spelled like it sounds, @gmail.com. And if you need to reach me personally on my email is ira.mathis@nomoregraves.org.
Okay, so do you have any more comments that you'd like to make about where you see your vision going, what your expectations are, anything like that?
Well, I see the vision by the end of the year that we will definitely be connected on a whole Ward 8, Ward 7 side, with, you know, violence kind of simmering down. That's my faith, and that's what I believe in. We just need the grown people, and I mean the people that still might be in the life, to stop putting batteries in these young guys' back, which I almost had one in my back when I was growing up, but I was grown enough to say no.
What does that mean for the people inside me, the slow people? What does a battery mean?
A battery in your back means that, you know, an older person or somebody that feels superior over you may tell you to do some certain things that you know in your wholeheartedly mind that you should not do. So
okay,
just keep that in mind for yourself. Just have your own mind You're not going to be a sucker if you say no, that you don't want to do that.
Exactly. Don't, in other words, be a leader.
Be a leader. Don't fall into the trap of just doing anything just to say, oh, I'm going to have his satisfaction or have her satisfaction. No. Be the bigger man for yourself, you know, and be the bigger woman for yourself. But the, but the dream is to just have all us connecting the dots and loving one another like we need to, because I always say this about this world. It's made up, because anything we do, we're making it up. We just got to make it work while we're here. So let's make up this, you know, like I said, like my team member says, be kind and love. You know, we just got to be kind.
All of us
got a mean streak. But let's just be kind to one another.
Right.
No, let's love one another.
That brotherly love and that sisterly love that we had in the 70s, because we definitely had it back then.
Yeah.
So real quick, Ira, do you have a Cash App upgrade or something like that? And okay, some listeners would like the monetary donation. How can they do that?
We have a Cash App, and like I said, your donation is, you know, you can write it off the tag. We are officially a 501c3. You can Cash App us at the, you know, you got to put the $ and No More Graves DC. That is
great.
$ No More Graves DC. And best to believe your money is going to the communities. None of it is going to any pocket in this foundation. 100%.
Great.
For sure. You know,
great.
Like I
Thank
said,
you
we found
so
it.
Much.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much. We're down on time. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I wish you and No More Grant much success. I know you guys are going to go far. It's going to continue to expand. Thank you so much for being on the show, my brother.
I appreciate being. I was so nervous, Miss Melinda, because I'm not a talker, really. I tell people that all the time. I like to do. I'm not really a speech writer or something. Anything that came out of my mouth tonight, it came from my heart. So I definitely appreciate you having me. And I'm definitely jumping out on faith, and we're going to make this happen. No More Graves to the end.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing how you guys expand in the future. Our next show will be on April the 5th, 2022. And our guest will be Brother Kareem Mawat, a director, editor, and writer of numerous films. His most recent film is Lawton Prison of Terror documentary that has been getting rave reviews and selling out every show. If you have a story of injustice you would like to share or would like to join the conversation or have a topic you would like to have on the show, please DM to Melinda Robinson across all the social media platforms. Thanks for tuning in. Stay blessed and be safe. Peace.
Don't worry.